And as you know, we continue to follow up on that story of those strange trumpet sounds that people are hearing, maybe tied into some extraterrestrial presence or UFOs. Who knows? By the way, there is a picture that Linda shared with us. You can take a look at a triangular craft. It's at the highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back. Linda, still getting reports of these trumpet sounds all over the place?
That's right. In my February Earth Files and Coast to Coast AM broadcast, I interviewed a man in California and another in Idaho about strange horn-like trumpet and metallic scraping sounds. They're different, but in these two cases, the very first in my career of ever investigating anything like this, they link them directly to seeing close up, one outside a bedroom window, one up in the air in the mountains in Idaho, mysterious triangular aircraft. And after that show in February, I received many different emails, but here was one that stood out from John Paul Bobick. His subject said, aerial triangle trumpet sounds in 2010 over Bighorn Mountains, Wyoming. Hi, Linda. My name is John Bobick, and I live in Wyoming, and this is to let you know that I have seen the black triangular aircraft and heard the trumpet sounds that it makes. If you would like to hear more about it, you can contact me. And I did. I called him, and I learned that John Bobick, now 68, was a former Marine in Vietnam and retired head of maintenance for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department in Casper, Wyoming. He has loved to hike in the wilderness all his life, and in the summer of 2010, he was walking in the foothills of the beautiful Bighorn Mountains that are about 100 miles from his home. And it was very peaceful and quiet, and suddenly that quiet was ripped by sounds that unnerved and confused him that he had never, ever heard before. Here now is John Bobick from Casper, Wyoming.
I was up in the foothills of the Bighorn Mountains, and I was up there by myself, a hot summer day, and I was hunting fossils, and I'd been walking for about 4 or 5 hours, and I was pretty tired and thirsty, and I was heading back towards my truck, and I was walking along a ridge. All of a sudden, I hear this loud noise. It was intermittent.
Can you try to give us an idea of what it sounded like?
It would just go psht, 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 but it had a really grating sound to it. And this is really strange. From where I was walking on this ridge, there was a valley and then another parallel ridge. And it sounded like it was right over that ridge. And I thought to myself at the time, I just walked up through there and I didn't see any kind of an oil or gas well or any kind of a pipe sticking out of the ground. What in the world could that be? So as tired as I was, I thought, I'm going to go ahead and walk down through this valley and climb that other ridge and see what the heck that is. So I started down over the ridge, and as I started over the ridge, it struck me that this sound wasn't coming from where I thought, but it sounded all of a sudden like it was coming from overhead. And at the same time, it had this loud grating sound, but at the very end of it, it had almost like organ music. A little bit of an organ sound to the end of it, you know, as it went psht, psht. And then shortly after that, within a matter of 20 seconds, the sound started to change quite a bit to where it sounded like horns blowing and trumpets. And I looked straight up above me, way up there, and I seen this little black triangular craft or aircraft, and it was moving at a real fast pace. Went over top of me, that sound like a horn blowing or a trumpet blowing. And it was still intermittent, but it was this, you could say, a trumpet horn blowing. It got over me and went slightly past me, and then I noticed that the sound became solid. It wasn't intermittent anymore.
That sound, have you ever heard anything like it before or since?
No. Kind of gave me goose pimples when I heard it because it was so strange. You know, I've heard all kinds of jet aircraft. I was in forward air control in Vietnam. I called in airstrikes and watched B-52s fly over and the jets that came in, the Phantoms and the Skyhawks and such. But this, it looked black and it looked like a elongated triangle. And even at that distance, I remember thinking it looked like it had rounded corners on it.
was the sound that was coming from it, from your point of view on the ground, when it went into solid sound, do you mean it was like a trumpet note repeating, or were there musical notes, or?
It would almost, to me, sound like a trumpet blowing, a solid trumpet, horn trumpet sound. It wasn't fluctuating or pulsating, you know, for a little bit as it went by me, it became a solid sound. And if this object was that high up in the air, the sharpness of the sound on the ground where I was almost unbelievable. You know, something that high, you would think no matter what the engine sound would be, you would barely hear it.
Right.
And that thing would have to be way past you before you heard the sound.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. I heard it when it was right above me. I watched the thing, and I was impressed with how fast it was going. I thought to myself, this thing is way up there. It looks like way over 100,000 feet. A commercial jet would have probably taken 10 minutes if you watched it to go to the horizon. But I suspect this thing made it in about 15 seconds. I mean, it was really going.
What are your own thoughts about other life in the universe?
I believe that there is.
16 years earlier, in October 1994, on the East Coast in Reston, Virginia, Richard Gray arrived home a little after 8 p.m. Richard was the regional director of marketing and sales for Northwest Airlines in Washington, D.C. He and his family had a home with a back deck on the ninth fairway of a golf course in Reston. Richard went out on the back deck to relax, and what happened next so haunted him that today, Richard Gray is the producer of the excellent website about high strangeness called Educating Humanity. Here now, Richard shares what happened to change his view on this universe in the twilight of an October 1994 evening at 8:30 p.m. in Reston, Virginia.
It was a beautiful night, one of those warm nights in October, and I sat on the back deck, which overlooks the ninth fairway of a golf course, and just kind of put my feet up and just relaxed and was sitting there for about 10 minutes. And I was, other than the kids being upstairs asleep, I was home alone. And I noticed a very bright, not necessarily a light, but something bright was lighting up the golf course, and I couldn't quite see what it was. And it was obviously moving because things were getting brighter and brighter. And I stood up and leaned over and I took a look, and I saw this huge triangular craft coming towards my home. And it was probably 200 feet in front of me and anywhere from, I would say, 200 to 500 feet in altitude. So it was very low. And it was on a trajectory coming down on the golf course as if it were going to land. And it was moving extremely slow. I would say maximum speed, 15 to 20 miles an hour. That's really a snail's pace. And it looked like it was going to land. And I stood there absolutely incredulous. And as it went past right in front of me, it went past the house I was in and approached the top of the trees. So it was very low at that point. It was a huge triangular craft with three lights at each point, and the points did not come to a point. They were kind of rounded. The largest light, circular light, was in the front, and two a little bit smaller ones were in the back. And the very odd thing about this is I could actually either see through this craft, the center of it, or it was projecting the sky that was above the craft on the bottom or below it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I've heard the same description before, raising the issue of whether the craft has the ability to become translucent and the human eye is seeing through it, or that it is camouflaging itself and that it has the ability to reflect from the bottom of the craft the environment that it is in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've often wondered, was it a projection or was I actually seeing through it? And to this day, I have no idea. But the thought process for me when I experienced this whole thing is, being in the airline business my entire life, this was not something that was man-made. I could virtually see all the details on this thing. And what went through my mind is, this is not of this world. There is absolutely no way something that huge, which was probably the size of 3 to 4 football fields,
which is 900 to 1,200 feet long.
Easily. It was absolutely huge. Took up the entire fairway of a very large golf course. It was more than shocking to see this, and to see it move over almost directly over my head with no sound was incredible. The only thing that kept going through my mind is, this is not of this earth. This is not man-made, not on this planet. I still don't have an explanation where I've been able to say that's exactly what it is. I go between, was it an alien craft visiting Earth? Is it technology that our government has and we know nothing about? And if it is technology that the government have, then they have alien technology as far as I'm concerned. So the question then becomes, where did they get it?
Right.
So, I don't have those answers. I wish I did.
Do you think that as you ran out first in normal human curiosity, as any of us would when something unusual was outside, and then you felt something ominous or a warning that made you go back to the house, do you have any sense about whether it was a telepathic thought put in your mind?
You know, that's a good question. I've often wondered what made me stop. I just stopped dead in my tracks and said, this is not a good idea, better go back. Because I had the presence of mind to just stop and go back and to immediately put all the details down on paper, there's no question in my mind about the reality of it.
And George, remember on the March 13th, 1997 flyovers in Arizona that seemed to go on from somewhere around 7 o'clock at night to maybe 10:30 at night in different parts of the state, different parts of Phoenix, and there were different descriptions. And one of them was a family that I interviewed when Art was doing Coast, and I had, I think out of 5 people, I had 2 or 3. They were all in a car, and they were coming up to Phoenix for an athletic thing that one of the daughters was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And they all saw this. I talked with all of them on the phone, and some of them were willing to talk for radio. And they said that they could see this big thing coming, and the father was pretty sharp. I believe he was an engineer. He said, when I yell, I want you to start counting 1 steam engine, 2 steam engine. And he was on the freeway, and this craft, this big triangle, came right down the freeway. So he had everybody count seconds as this big thing passed over. That was one of the estimates, that this was a craft 2 miles long and completely silent in the March 13th, 1997 flyover, that was in the 7 to 8 p.m. time period. What is that versus a triangle on a golf course in Reston, Virginia, a man who spent his life working with airlines, who knows what he would be looking at in terms of craft? What is this translucence of a triangle that was completely silent versus the ones that we're dealing with that are making these trumpet sounds or scraping sounds? Now, when you come to the size, the Reston was 900 to 1,200 feet, a very good estimate by Richard Gray, who is very credible and knowledgeable about judging. That's still huge. It's not 2 miles, but 900 to 1,200 feet, that's huge. Tonight, I received this email from a Earth Files viewer and Coast listener. I read one of your Earth Files reports where a triangle craft had been spotted leaving items in trees and so on. I think he's blended what is coming up in our next half hour, and I have it posted at Earth Files, an extraordinary case involves a disc. But he tells his own story here. Back in 2010, I contacted MUFON and left a report about what I saw, and he's based in Pensacola, Florida. A triangle craft passed over our home very low, maybe 100 feet. Our power went out. All the animals and crickets, everything became quiet. This was so low that the pine trees wilted from the heat of the craft. You could see it the next morning, and it left a very funny smell in the air. In Pensacola, at around 4:30 a.m. after this event, military vehicles showed up where we lived, and this was near a naval base. And this event had happened 2 hours before at 2:30 in the morning. And when the sun came up, he describes going out to see the wilt and said that the trees were wilted and the plants were a mile from his house.
Jeez.
Now, that's 2010. The 2010 is John Bobick up in the Bighorn Mountains. And if we jump back, because now we're talking about everything that's current. Pretty current. Back to 1980, my documentary that I produced for the CBS station in Denver aired on May 25th, 1980, and I was just flooded with letters and phone calls back then of all kinds of things. And there was a family that lived near what was then Stapleton Airport in Denver, and they called and had me come out to see them. They wanted me to stand on the sidewalk in the street, see where the airport was, and this was their story. They told me it had been lunchtime that week when they called me, and that they had been out, the kids were playing in the front yard, and the mother, the father, and the kids all there watched what they said first was a large triangular shape, and it's coming right down the street, right in front of their house. And they all saw that as it got right over their heads, they were completely and totally astonished as the craft went from something that seemed solid to invisible in an instant.
Jeez.
And they wanted me to see, and they wanted me to know because of a strange harvest. Well, after that, over the last 30 years, I have been exposed to several people in intel and military agencies who have told me that part of the extraterrestrial, and they make no bones about it, extraterrestrial technology is the ability to deflect photons with the technology. If you deflect photons from retinas, you can't see it.
It's like cloaking.
Like cloaking, a very sophisticated cloaking, but to everyone out there, Earth Files viewers and Coast listeners, I really am interested in these triangles that are making the trumpet or the scraping metallic sounds. If any more of you have had such experiences, get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Is this terrestrial or is this extraterrestrial, which is exactly what Richard Gray came to the conclusion about the 900 to 1,200-foot triangle on the Reston, Virginia golf course.
We're going to come back with some more incredible stories from Linda Moulton Howe. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Linda, your questions, maybe some of your stories that will lead to further shows. So make sure you're part of that. When we come back with her, we're going to have a story that ties into, again, mutilations of animals, what's happening. She's got that story for you next. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. And Linda, of course, here's another strange story. I don't know how you find them, but you come up with the best.
Well, thanks. It's very nice to have this crossroads in earthfiles.com where everybody in the world knows that if they have had encounters, strange phenomena, that I'm really interested in hard physical evidence and firsthand eyewitness testimony, especially if there is multiple. And in this case, there was. And it relates to one of my first exposures to the presence of what people have described as silver or orange glowing discs that have been linked to mutilated animals or carcasses found hanging from tree branches. I'm not kidding. There really is this sub category. And this first exposure for me was in an interview that I did with Washington State's Snohomish County Sheriff's Deputy Jerry Phillips. He had investigated Sasquatch, UFOs, and animal mutilations in 1977. And I got in touch with him when I was producing my two-volume book, Glimpses of Other Realities. And I had a section in there having to do with mutilations and various high strangeness that was going on in Snohomish. And he told me that as a deputy sheriff, that he knew that there were dozens of unusual bloodless animal deaths in that Snohomish area, very similar to the several thousand animal mutilation cases reported worldwide since at least the 1960s. Deputy Phillips said that one of the strangest cases that he ever investigated was a large deer found hanging from a tree limb by the back skin of its neck, like a coat would be hung up, and it was at least 14 feet off the ground. Deputy Phillips examined the carcass himself, and he told me that there were odd bloodless excisions of tissue from various parts of the deer's hanging body. And it was exactly as he had been finding in the cattle and other animals at that time in Snohomish. Many residents there reported silver or orange-red fiery discs in the skies, and Deputy Phillips personally had become convinced that there was a direct link between the discs, bloodless animal mutilations, Sasquatch, the whole UFO phenomena, and that deer that hung high on that limb of that tree. Now comes this extraordinary eyewitness description of an orange-red disc with dark portholes around its rim that hovered tilting back and forth over 50-foot pine trees near her North Carolina home. Pam Conley grew up in North Carolina, where she graduated high school and went on to work as a registered nurse until retirement. Now, at age 65, she has moved to Florence, South Carolina. But her story begins in the fall of 1976, when North America was really swamped by animal mutilation stories. And she was then living in Statesfield, North Carolina. She was married, had children, and that evening, she was puzzled about why her dog was agitated and why the cows were pressed up against a fence close to the house, as if seeking shelter from a danger that Pam could not see. Staying up to watch television while her family went to sleep, it was 2 a.m. when Pam's dog again erupted in frantic behavior at a glass door. Here now is Pam Conley from Florence, South Carolina, about her encounter with high strangeness in North Carolina.
My dog, I had a poodle named Gigi, was just anxious all evening. And I'd also noticed before the sun went down that the cows where we lived, there was a pasture with cows, and then way back in the back was the forest. Maybe 2 football fields away, you could see the woods. The cows were all hovered against the fence that evening around supper time, and that's unusual. And the dog was tearing up against the glass door. And I'm like, she's got to go out? You know, she is just making all kinds of racket. So I got up, turned the TV off, went to the glass door to let her out. And when I was unlocking the door, I looked up. First thing I noticed was 3 very, very bright lights up in the sky.
Pam, were they in the pattern of a triangle?
No, they were in a straight line. They were straight up in the sky, brighter than stars. But they were exactly spaced, but they were so bright. I thought, what is this? And close. And as I glanced over, up from the tree line came a oval-shaped, glowing, bright orange. And you could see that it was oval, and you could see, like, portholes across the middle because they were darker than the rest of it. And the craft, whatever it is, came up out of the tree line very, very slowly. I'm just watching this through the door. I called my husband at that time and hollered for him to come up out of bed. And it came up over the tree line, tilted to the left, came back up even, tilted to the right, came back up even again, and went back down into the tree line. And it came back up. The cows were mooing. The neighborhood was going crazy. The dogs were just going ballistic. The neighbors wanted to go out then and see what it was. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather not have seen it. I was spooked. Ran back, checked on the children, make sure everything was okay. You know, I'm like, really don't go out there because if there's anything there, we need to call and report it. I really didn't want to do that because, you know, people laughed at you back then. No one believed. So you never said anything. I stayed up till 3:30. I did let the dog out. The cows were still there. I was just exhausted and scared. The next morning, a few of the neighborhood people came over. We had to track through some woods. We came on this area. It was like something came down 30, 40-foot pine trees and just broke them off like they were twigs. Huge area, probably about 40, 50, 60 feet in a wide area. But in the center of that was a circle, a perfect circle. The grass was all like it was laid in a circle. It was all from left to right.
And did you mean that you saw trees snapped off at the ground?
They were snapped off about 4 feet from the ground.
Were the trees laying in a pattern?
I think the trees were all laying to the left-hand side. There wasn't any facing the circle. No broken-off branches were facing into the circle. The grass was all laid from left to right, like somebody just kind of pushed it from left to right in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a brownish color. And I went over to that circle to feel that. And it felt like silk. It felt silky. It felt almost like a silk material. It was very soft. I didn't smell a smell.
Pam, is it possible that it felt silky because there was some kind of an exhaust or chemical or something had scorched the grass?
It could have been. It was soft. I didn't smell anything.
And the grass circle was a brownish color that was different from all the rest of the leaves and the grass around the circle?
Yeah, this was a forest, and here's this broken-out circle. It's huge. And then here's the smaller circle in the middle of the woods where that circle was.
The size of the space where the trees had been broken about 4 feet off the ground, all outward, how big do you think that area was that had been broken off?
I would say probably 50, 60 feet.
What did it look like where they were broken off?
It looked like somebody just snapped it in two and it was jagged, like he would break something and it would have the jagged look to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some larger jags, you know, the bigger the tree, the larger the jaggedness. And I started feeling weird, and I thought, whatever it is could break trees. You think something else is going on? And I looked up, and to the right of me, on the outer edge of the broken tree circle, you know, these pine trees are big, and there was something up in the tree. And I looked, and I was ready to run. I still get a weird feeling. There was a cow carcass at the top of this tree. It was hanging over several branches, some of it over the trunk of the pine, and its head and neck over a couple other. It was a big cow. And then its body kind of draped over the center of the tree, and then the backside of it was over two branches with a leg hanging down, a back leg. I just felt like my blood ran cold, and I got scared. I'm sitting there for a minute thinking, how could this cow? It was dead, of course. It was a carcass, but the thing I noticed, it had no blood at the bottom of the tree, and I didn't see any red on it, on the backside.
Right.
Did not see the front side. Didn't want to see the front side. I was ready to leave.
Was your first thought that that orange glowing oval may have dropped that cow?
Yes. When they came straight up like they were fixing to take off, and I know it was a UFO. Anybody that thinks that there's just us in this universe, you know, really needs to rethink. And it came up, and it wavered to the left, Then it came back ever so slow and wavered to the right, came back up even, and went back down. I think they dropped the cow in the tree. Either that or they had to be some awful tall creatures to pick up a cow, put it up in a tree like that, you know? I was so scared, and it was like I got panicky, and I felt like I had to leave because I wasn't safe there. If they can do this to a cow, do I really want to be standing here?
After you saw that big cow laid over branches 30 or 40 feet off the ground in that pine tree, and it scared you, it spooked you, and you left, what did you say to family and friends about the orange glowing object and finding that big cow?
Well, my mother believed me. The only friends, the only people I knew was just a couple in the area, and everybody saw that. You couldn't help because everybody was like, your dog's barking, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, wow, look at this. And we talked about it. I said, what puts a cow in a pine tree? A giant person or a forklift? I mean, why would you do that? And I don't think a forklift just lifted up that high. Or that thing we saw last night with the ship, not from this earth, because what could do that, you know? So everybody was kind of like, what, did we call? Did we tell anybody about it? I said, I'm not going to tell people what I saw. They're not going to believe me, and I'm wanting to finish up college. As a young adult, you're basically in your own young life and working to get through college and raise your children and do what you need to do, and UFOs were a thing that you only had nightmares over. And my family, yeah, I shared it with a few of them, and, you know, for the most part, every now and then they come back with a real comment that was like a little sarcastic. Why would I tell them a story like that if it didn't happen? I'd like to be honest about things. And back then, the whole mindset was a little bit different than it was now. All I know is, and I'm going to go back a little bit, my oldest son and myself, and he was 7 at that time, we were driving back. It was in the middle of the night. You can't pick up a radio station in those areas because there's nothing there. And we heard this humming. It was a hum. It was like a frequency hum. You could feel it in your chest. And this brilliant flash of light, and it was over. And I looked at my son. I said, did you see that? Yeah, I saw that. What was that? I don't know.
Pam, what you're describing is where you think you had about 6 hours of missing time, correct?
I think something happened the more I thought about it.
Have you ever had the impression that telepathic thoughts in some other kind of thought voice have been in your head giving you information?
Yes, maybe once or twice. Things that were going to happen.
Can you describe that in detail?
Water, lots of water, houses floating, no mountains where there were mountains, land where there was no land. But I made it. Imagine that.
You survived because why?
I don't know. But I was on a house that I've had several times.
Do you have the impression that the water is only in North Carolina where you live? Or are you seeing the whole planet from a craft in space?
No, not seeing the whole planet. Just seeing a lot of it.
Do you still feel that the image of a lot of the Earth being covered with water is going to happen?
Yes, I do.
What would cause it?
All I see is water coming from everywhere. I don't know. I've shared that with my husband several times. I've had it. I just see it. I see it everywhere. It's not like I'm up looking down at the Earth as a view. It's like I see billions of acres with water. But where people go is not, some of the places aren't safe because what was there comes down because Earth shakes too. So maybe it's earthquake.
And out of all of this, this is a story that has so many facets of so many things that I have encountered in bits and pieces in other stories. This experience in North Carolina and this woman's life, she has a lot of facets. And this last part of her having some kind of intermittent, we'll call it where you're flooded with images wherever they're coming from, whether it is related to the phenomena that put the cow up in the tree or just exactly what, it's very interesting to me as a person who has, for television and radio and media for a very long time, investigated what is happening in people everywhere all around the planet in relationship to this high strangeness, and what are they left with as residues? And one of these is this increasing number of stories that keep coming from people who may have had missing time or had an exposure, and they are all beginning to describe something like water or something, a big change that's going to be geophysical. And in my Earth Files report that has this entire interview with Pam, I put at the end of it specifically my June 28, 2013 Earth Files, about a year ago, Mystery Booms and Inner Earth Core Changes, which you heard me give and coast back then,
way back,
George. And this was with the Stanford University geophysicist, that I took the issue of booms and all sorts of things related to that. And the question of the whistleblower geophysicist, Hill Air Force Base, saying that there is some big change in our planet that scientists are studying and that they think is related to the booms and perhaps increasing quakes and what might be increasing volcanic activity. And whatever the government knows or does not know about what is happening with the booms, the trumpets, the metallic sounds, all of the quakes right now, there have been literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of quakes in the 1 to 4 magnitude in north central Oklahoma just in the last month or so. Is it related to some big change that is occurring, or is it all going to subside and go away? The only thing that any of us can do is stay on top of this. That's what I'm trying to do at Earth Files, and to report this news at Coast. And I hope that everyone listening will go to Earth Files, go through all of these reports I've done tonight. And when you come to that Sea Earth Files, June 28th, Mystery Booms and Inner Earth Core Changes, try to read the entire report, because I still think it's extremely important. And in the last seconds, in the South, I once covered a story where a cat was found with the front half and the back half underneath a tree root. There was no possibility of the animal getting there on its own.
It is just so mind-boggling, Linda. We're going to come back and take final questions for you. Conversations with Linda next.